Amen. How's everybody doing? Good. Praise God. Summer's definitely here. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Today's a special day for me. As many of you know, I was in youth ministry for 10 years and also taught middle school and high school for 15 years. And when I was at Calvary in youth ministry, we created an advanced discipleship program called The Climb. Similar to, you know, we call it Level Up. It's similar. And we really pushed our youth. We had some real go-getters. Many of the kids that we brought through that program are in full-time ministry in different parts of the world, missionaries and pastors and worship leaders and all the rest. And one of them, Nathan Lloyd-Jones, is going to be with us today. And many of you have met him before. He's a missionary in Honduras. He took his first mission trip to Africa when he was just a teenager. Fell in love with missions, and then he went down to Honduras, and when he was on a short-term mission trip there, he actually met his wife. She's from Mississippi, but their parents were missionaries in Honduras, so she grew up in the mission field, and, you know, he got adopted into that mission. He's been down there for almost 13 years doing some great work there. The last time he was here, we took an offering up to support the pastors that in their Bible school program. So they're training pastors of these kind of bush pastors and that are out there in the very rural communities in Honduras. And we sowed finances into each family, into each pastor and his wife, so that they could have a business in order to be able to support themselves while they're doing the ministry, because it's tough to do the ministry and then, you know, you still got your own kids to feed and your own families to take care of. And so Nathan is back in the States for a little bit of a season, and he's been in town. Last week he was at Calvary, and now he's here, and he's going to give us an update on what's going on in Honduras, and you'll get to see some pictures and some backstories behind some of the very people that we've supported here at the church and see what's going on in the nation. So could you give a nice warm welcome to Nathan Lloyd-Jones?
I'm always so encouraged to watch that video just to see my children getting to minister with us and be a part of our ministry. Today is Father's Day, and so I want to challenge all of you fathers that ministry and work and family, there's not three parts. They're all ministry. That's one of the things I've had to learn being on the mission field, and thankfully I had a father-in-law that really challenged me hard on that, that no, they all go together. They're all together, and it's not the job of these wonderful people here to train your children. It's your job, and they help do that, and without your part, without doing your part, it's so much worse. I'll just put it like it is. It's fathers, you need to be a father. You need to take time with your children. You need to disciple your children. I am so thankful that I had parents that discipled me. I am so thankful that I had awesome youth leaders that discipled me and spent time with me and challenged me in righteousness. So that's my challenge to you fathers today. It's a big job. It's a hard job, but it's possible with Christ, and it's so important. Grandparents, also in the Bible in Deuteronomy, it says to your children, teach all these things to your children and to your children's children. So it doesn't end when you're empty nesters. That term is an American term, not a biblical term. Your job keeps going on. We have a requirement. And so I just want to encourage you that and challenge you in that. And there's a reason for that. We live in a culture that the family is just 100% broken. It's just, it's everywhere. They have this understanding that they're very religious. And so we're dealing with all these situations all the time. I want to kind of share a low point and a high point, because I want you to understand missions. Missions is not just all powerful, all wonderful. It's a challenge. It's work, just like raising a family. It's work, and it's wonderful. It's anything that's hard to do or anything that matters in this world is hard to do. So one of our low points, like we just had this, just happened about 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, and we had this pastor in his church. His daughter was dating this guy. She's 15 and he's 28. And he was worried that this guy would, in Honduras, you steal away your woman. You run off in the night, you run and hide away for a couple months until everybody accepts it, and then that's kind of the normal thing. And so he was afraid that they'd do that. So instead, he made her go with him. And she expressed to us and some of our ministry partners that she did not want to do that, but she was afraid to tell her parents that she didn't want to do that because, just a complicated situation. So this happened. We found out all of this information after they held an illegal church service in their service and not married the couple because it's illegal in Honduras without the courthouse marriage to get married. So they held this official meeting blessing this marriage, and the man's not a Christian, just blessing this marriage, and they called all the elders together and had a service and basically a small marriage ceremony, and we had to deal with this big mess. And then come to find out this has happened over and over and over. This has happened a lot of times. We didn't know about it until this came up. And so we're dealing with this situation, and the pastors are giving all their scripture verses to defend their points and why they did what they did. So it's a really interesting thing because it's like, okay, well, why do you believe this? What's your doctrine for this? And so we're talking through these things and we're working through these things, and it's a challenge. It's sometimes really stressful, and I'm so thankful that God gave us the word of God, that His word through the Apostle Paul, through Peter and John and the New Testament writers, He gave us all these directions on how to deal with church problems. And so we're going through these things with these couples and walking them through, and not just saying, this is what God wants you to do, this is what you have to do. We actually go with this church. So what we've done with this church is we've started going there. I'm going there twice a week. We sit down with all the leaders. We just sit down together and study God's word. Because I say, listen, you don't want to just do what I say. You don't want to just accept the missionary's word. You want to do what God's word says. So I don't want you to just do what I say. Let's study God's word together and understand it. I want you to argue with me. I want us to debate this out and get to the point of what is truth. And get to the point of where, so we're moving forward together. And we've started helping couples. We're helping about 25 couples get to the point that they can get married. It's a really complicated process, and it's an expensive process to get married in Honduras. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. So what we do is we work with them, and we try to get out all the excuses, because a lot of it is just excuses why they're not getting married. So we're working with these couples. You got to see a couple up there get married. They're right there. They just got married a week before we came up here. So 2 weeks ago they got married, and he was crying. He's like, man, I've been praying for 7 years that I could get married to my wife, but we just didn't have the paperwork. We didn't have the funds. I can't thank you enough for helping us get married. So it's really awesome, the things that are happening in Honduras. But family is so important, and it's so important that you invest into your children and invest and to teaching your children. It is just, it's so, so, so needed. So I want to encourage you guys in that. A couple of things that we have up here. These are all projects that you guys got to participate in. These are the success stories. We've had some struggles with some others that are still going on, and they're learning how to do finances. What we try to do so much is not just, the Bible says in James that if you tell somebody to be warmed and be filled, but don't do anything to help them with that, it means nothing. So we're trying not to just preach to them, but come alongside of them and teach them how to manage their family, how to manage their work, how to manage their churches, how to walk out the word of God in a daily aspect. We're with many of these people every single day. We're sitting with them, we're talking with them, we're counseling, working through their highs and working through their lows together. So David here is, he's working with us, and he is managing one of our stores, one of our hardware stores. We have two hardware stores, and he's also doing we're helping him with a hair cutting business. So he cuts hair, and he manages our hardware store. And so that's two of the small businesses that he's doing. And you can keep going through those. Then we have Osmin. Osmin's story is so wonderful. It's so amazing. It's just the power of God and the mercy of God. Osmin, 2.5 years ago, he was just the tail, the tail of everything. He was a hard worker, but always in debt, had struggled with alcohol. I would say an alcoholic. Every other week, he was spending all their money that they had. He'd go out and get drunk, and in one night, just burn it all up. And he has, he's 24, and he has 7 children. And that they're not all his. Only two are his. They're twins. But his women, again, because they don't get married, they just go with all their women. They just go with each other. And so she had five children before they got together. And so then they got together, and he was working for us, and they're like, hey, God wants you to get married, you know, and we started going through marriage counseling with them, and he would struggle. In Honduras, I don't know any man that hasn't beaten their wife very severely. Beating your wife is just kind of not Christians, because once they come into the faith, they don't do that, but out where we are, we live way out, and you just, like, one night, he got drunk, and he beat his wife, and the next day, he came and confessed it to me, and we were talking. And he said, Nathan, you know how it is. Sometimes you just got to raise your hand. And I was like, no, I've never done that. It's not that way. That's not how we act. And we've had to get really serious with them. But what's amazing is this man, he's taken everything that we have taught, everything that we've challenged him on, he's just taken it and put it into action almost instantly. We'll talk about teaching your children. He is teaching he's teaching his stepsons. He's taken over our mechanic school. We did a mechanic school for 3 years. He's taken over it completely. He's in charge of all the business of it, all the running of it. He's applied himself. He's been, I think, 11 months now without a relapse in drinking alcohol. And so that's just a miracle for that. And he and his wife have a really strong marriage together. They just got married this past February. They were working for 2 years trying to get the paperwork worked out because he, a long story. So, but they finally got to get married. And so they're working with us. And it's just neat to see lives changed when you start to apply God's word in your life and apply God's word in your business and apply God's word in your family. It's just amazing. And now he is the head. He is a blessing to others. He is a blessing to us. And he just before we left, he and his wife came to visit us, and he said, we can't thank you enough for giving your lives to come and teach us. We would have never been where we are today, never, never in our whole lives. We would have just continued on in the circle, the cycle of poverty, the cycle of depression, the cycle of alcoholism. We would still be where we would never have been able to live the way we are now without your help. And we just thank you enough. So it's such an awesome thing to get to work with these guys. We'll jump through here. This is Pastor Nelson on the far right. He is a carpenter, and we got to get him this wood planer. So he does all kinds of fine carpentry work, does a really amazing job. And again, that was something we bought with the funds that you guys donated last time we were here. So he's doing fine carpentry work and doing church work. This is Jorge. He is one of my main disciples, wonderful guy. He is getting married this year. He's actually starting all the paperwork right now while I'm here, but he's excited about it. And he's holding some solar panels. And what we do with the solar panels, we've installed three of these with three different pastors, and we put a solar panel on their house. Where we live, there's no electricity, no running water, no roads. And so these people that we're putting these solar panels in their house, it's the first time that they've had light in all of their life. The directors that we're working with, you can jump to the next picture. Director Willington and his wife, they are pastoring a church, and they're over eight churches, starting to be nine. We're starting another church plant. So nine churches they're over. And we put a solar system in their house, and they said, this is the first time we've ever had light in our house. And so, and what's really sad too, and amazing and sad, but they went through seminary school with us for 3 years. They both wear glasses now because I didn't know this, but they study every night by candlelight. So actually, six of our 11 pastors wear glasses now from seminary school, but they all study at night by candlelight. And so it's just amazing the sacrifices they make and to study God's word and to know God's word. So these guys have light in their house now. And what's awesome about this too is where we are, there's no electricity. So and there's not very much cell phone service, so you have to climb up mountains and go down rivers to find places where there's cell phone service. But a lot of people have a cell phone. It is crazy. So a lot of them have cell phones, but they don't have any way to charge it. So they take it to these guys' house, they pay 25 cents, and they charge their cell phone. So this couple, within a year and a half, they've been able to save enough money to replenish the battery. And the battery should last about 5 to 8 years. So now they already have money saved aside. It's set with us to, when their battery goes bad, they can get another battery. So it's self-produced. It's self, what do you call that? Speaking in Spanish, trying to speak in Spanish and English. Autosostenible. Yeah, self-sustaining. Thank you. And they now they have it where it brings in enough. Every day they make probably about $2 or $3, which is enough to buy beans and rice for their family every day. So it's just really neat. It's a really neat project that it's very simple. It's not complicated. They have no maintenance on it. It's all a system that maintains itself. We put in a really solid system so they don't have to do anything with it. They just have to plug people's cell phones in, and they have light every night. So it's a really neat ministry. It's just changed their life completely. So, yeah. This is a Milger. He is a cripple from doing diving. About 1 in 5 men are permanently crippled from the bends from doing diving. That's the main income out where we are. This year in Rio Platino, we had 3 members of our church die in the ocean, which is really, really sad. One of our key guys that went through seminary school with us died in the ocean this year. He was ready to start pastoring, so that was really, really hard for all of us. So diving is the lobster diving is the main source of income where we are, and they go out and they do lobster diving. So he's been crippled for about 10 years. And he's gone through seminary school with us. And so what we did with him is we gave him, he can't do a whole lot, he can work with his hands. So we gave him a bunch of carving tools. And we just gave him a lot of ideas of what he could carve for people in Honduras. And then people, like when we have groups come down to sell to the groups. And even we're talking about how we can ship it out, product out to the city. So we're just doing a whole lot of stuff. So what he does all day is he's carving wood stuff, things that he can sell. And we're trying to help him create a source of income so that he can pastor and he can also take care of his family. So that's some of the projects. I think that's all of them, right? One more up there. Oh, Pastor Kelsey. I've been working with him in our church replant and in Rio Platino. A replant is where a church has kind of died out. It's almost become nothing. And so we've gone in there to help and raise up a church again. So we brought Pastor Kelsey and his family in. Or we actually trained them in. They're already from the village. And so Pastor Kelsey is such an awesome man of God. I'm taking a little bit more time if that's okay. Pastor Kelsey, about 10 years ago, he was out doing lobster diving and he found a kilo of drugs, of cocaine. And so what he did is he actually cut it open and he dumped it out. And which I've never heard of a pastor doing, unfortunately, in the Mesquite Coast or any man doing. He's the only one that I've ever heard doing that. And his wife left him. And his church disowned him. They said they threw away the blessing of God. they use a scripture verse that say, the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. That's their justifying verse for taking drugs and selling it back to the drug dealers. So he went through one of the hardest things of his life. During that time, what was amazing is after a while, his wife came back to him. They were reunited, and what was amazing is now he is one of the men. He has such a testimony. He has such a testimony in the whole community, and he has a powerful testimony. And he's a really amazing man of God. I love him so much. So what we did with him is he lives in a village that's a swamp. The whole village of Rio Platino is basically built on a swamp, and it's all houses that are elevated. So it's all wood houses, and nobody sells nails. Everything is built with wood and nails, but there's no nails. And you have to walk to my store, which is 2 hours to get nails. And everybody does. They just walk down the shore, walk down the beach to our place. But what I did is I set him up with selling nails. And so he's selling nails at his house. He also has a solar system at his house. And now actually he has a small grocery store in his house too. So he's running 3 small aspects of business in his house. He's excellent with booking. He keeps everything written down. And so that's why it's been easier that we've actually done more projects with him, because he's been faithful in the projects. And so it's really neat to see. So he's becoming one of the most blessed pastors. He's the only pastor that is faithful to pay, because the pastors pay a tithe to the director, so the director can do his work. He's the only pastor out of our pastors that is always faithful to be giving a tithe every week to the director. I'm working on the others, but I spent the most time with him, but he's always faithful in that. And it's really neat because now he has these three businesses, and then he's also pastoring. And it's really where he has enough income to be able to function and take care of his family and to take care of the church. And so it's really been a powerful ministry aspect of teaching these guys. It's a way we disciple them. We walk with them every day. Hey, this is how you have to do it. This is how you can glorify God with your finances, glorify God with your family, glorify God with your church, and just walking through with them. So these are all the projects that you guys got to be a part of that we were able to do because of you guys. There are a few more, but I have not put them up here because they're not success stories yet. We are working on them, but these are the guys that are being faithful with what they've been giving and applying the business aspects and the biblical aspects to their business and ministries. So yeah, so that's all that we're doing in Honduras. It's really exciting, and I'm really excited that you guys get to be a part of that. Thank you so much.
So where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. I want you to notice the contrast. In one case, there's people that because of no vision, they have no restraint in their lives. And that's what happens when you don't have anything beyond the moment that you're in, that you're living for, then you make decisions in the moment based on how you're feeling, based on what you want to do right now. Are you with me? Okay. So a lot of people are emotionally led. They make decisions based on their emotions, how they're feeling right in the moment. They have no restraint. As a school teacher, I saw this often with children. Okay. They would, in a moment of time, because of an emotion they were experiencing, do something that caused great consequences in their life, you know, cursing out a teacher, screaming at the principal, you know, just doing something. You know, I saw kids that just in a moment of time, you know, they brought alcohol or drugs or something on the campus, and they got kicked out of school. And the reason why they made that decision was because there was no vision beyond the moment that they were in. You with me? I remember when I turned 15 years old. That morning, I was sitting out at the end of my driveway, and we had a really long driveway. And my birthday was February 27th, and in upstate New York, it's cold in February. And I was sitting down there, and I was freezing, and you know, just waiting for the bus to come. And then you got on the bus, and sometimes it was colder on the bus than it was outside of the bus. You know, you could not get warm. And this kid who lived up the road, who was older than me, came by and saw me freezing there, and he pulled over, and you know, and he said, "Hey, do you want to ride?" And I was like, "Yes." So I got in the car, and it was weird because my mom usually left for work before I left, but that day she was home a little late, and she happened to look out the window right at the time that I got in the car with the other person, you know, and we hadn't planned that, so she wondered, I wonder what he's up to, you know, and so I was on the way to school. And with my friend, and we happened to drive by another couple of my friends, and they had a basketball. And I said, "Hey, pull over. I want to see what my friends are doing." And I said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Well, we're going to go play hoops. Do you want to play?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I hopped out of the car, and I went to play basketball with my friends up at the college instead of going to school. But my mom had saw me get in the car and then wondered what was going on. So she called the school looking for me, and they were like, "Oh, no, he never made it to the school," you know. And so then I played hoops all morning, which is not that bad of a thing. But I skipped school, and so and I thought, no one's ever going to find out about this. You know, I'll just come to school halfway during the day. So I walked into school halfway through the day. I walked into the office to check in, and the lady there said, "Good morning, Robbie," because that's what they used to call me. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And she said, "I have your mother on hold." True story. I was like, all morning, my mom was just just keep me here. And the moment that he comes, yeah. And so I got on the phone, and my mom said, where were you today? And I said, I was playing hoops. And she said, "Well, we'll talk when you get home." happy birthday. Praise God. Amen. Where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. You understand? You make decisions just in a moment of time. And that's kind of a fun little story. But think about all the really, really life drastic decisions that people make when they have no boundaries in their life, because they're not living for anything beyond the moment that they're in. Here's the irony. It does not produce happiness when you live your life like that. Because what the scripture says here is, but the contrast is true, the opposite. But happy is he who keeps the law. The word law there is Pentateuch. It means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this was written at a time prior to the New Testament. Now we have not only the entire Old Testament, but we have the entire New Testament. And you have the Holy Spirit, if you've been born again, living inside of you, which helps direct you in your decision-making process. How many of you have ever been about to say something and the Holy Spirit rises up inside of you and says, don't say that? But then you went ahead and you ignored that boundary that the Holy Spirit tried to set up. Come on, husbands, you know what I'm talking about. And you said what you shouldn't have said, and then you had to deal with the consequences. You know, now my wife here, she is so sweet, and everybody's like, oh, Chris is so sweet, but she's German, okay? And when Germans get mad, they start world wars. That's true. It's historically a true fact, you know. So, every once in a while, you know, I'll go to say something. The Holy Spirit will say, don't say that. But I say that. And like, she stops dead in her tracks and she turns around and she looks at me and her eyes get squinty. And she goes, what did you just say? You know, and in that moment, here comes the consequences of disobeying the Holy Spirit. See, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit tried to raise up a boundary and have some vision beyond the moment. But then when you go over the boundary, you have to suffer the consequences, you know. So usually I just say nothing. I was just joking. I didn't mean that. You heard me wrong. Praise God. But I'm having a little fun with this. But seriously, how many of you have got yourself in trouble by ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit? You understand? God's trying to tell you something and you don't listen to what God's saying. We have a culture that is propagating this lie that no boundaries will produce happiness. You know, that really there shouldn't be any rules, there shouldn't be any boundaries, there shouldn't be any absolutes, but just kind of this free-for-all, you know, and that's going to produce this liberty and this freedom in our life. But the truth is it's actually causing an epidemic of depression, and the younger that you go, the worse it actually is. There's been just recently, I read a study, depression has increased 14% among the baby boom generation, 20% among Generation X, and a whopping 31% increase among millennials. They're getting depressed because they've been set up for this expectation that life is always supposed to be this high. You know, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, who was out in, or a couple of days ago, she's out in Colorado. And I was telling her, I said, Hannah, I said, you know, you love to live on such a high that if you're not on a high, you think that you're on a low. You understand? And life is not just a constant high. Everything is not constantly, you're all up here, you're experiencing, you know, we always want a bigger roller coaster and a better buffet. And, you know, and it's this lie that the grass is greener on the other side. You with me? Okay. And I want to say something to you. The grass is greener where you water it. Okay. It's where you invest that you reap harvest. If you're planting here, but then you run over here and you're planting here and you run over here and you're planting here, you're never staying in a situation long enough to experience, you know, the fruits of the thing that you're laboring for. When you have vision, it brings restraint into your life. What does it say? Is he who has no vision cast off restraint? But where there is vision, it brings restraint. That means that the opportunities to bail out of the thing that you're doing, you're able to say no to them because you're actually not living in the moment, but you're focused on something that is beyond the moment, and you're making an investment in the place that you're going. Y'all, anybody? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, boundaries or banks, watch this, bring happiness. That's what the scriptures teach. You know, everybody that you meet, really at the core of you know, who they are, many people say the same thing. They really just want to be happy. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. You understand? That's why people try to fill that gap with in other ways. That's why this guy in Honduras, you know, that's why he was think about this. Is it wisdom to take all the finances for 2 weeks for the family and then go blow it in one night on a drinking binge? No. But why do people do that? Because they're looking for an ounce of happiness right in that moment. You understand? But the Bible says, and what God's word teaches is actually that the boundaries, and when you flow within those boundaries of not living that way, are what actually produce happiness in your life, that fruit, okay? But when you move outside of that and you have no vision for the moment, then you overflow the banks like a river overflows, you know, in time of flood. Now, think about the the good that a river can do and the energy that it can produce when it flows within its boundaries. But just think about how incredibly damaging a river can be when it overflows its boundaries. First off, you know, they have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, you'll have these engineers on and say, don't worry, we built this levee. We know that it's solid and there's no way that this levee's ever going to break. And the next day you're on the news and the levee broke and the water came in and it swept away the whole town. You know, there was a town in upstate New York that I used to drive through on the way to see my grandmother downstate, like 3 hours downstate. And halfway through this little town that you went through, the river, it wasn't even a river. It was like a creek. Had a big flood overflow its boundaries and wiped out the entire town. Every single building in the entire town was completely destroyed. That's how destructive, you know, it can be when it flows outside of its banks. So God is saying, you know, learn from nature, look at that and recognize that when there's boundaries, there's actually happiness that's produced flowing within those boundaries. Even the very first man in the scriptures, we find that God put him in a confined situation. He created the whole world, but he created boundaries in a place called Eden, which means pleasant or paradise. He put the man in there. He brought the woman to him. You know, he gave them all these things to eat, and he gave them a job. He gave them something to do because at our core, we are all designed to be productive with the time that we've been given. When people are unproductive and they're not doing anything with their time and they have no vision and they've cast off restraint, this is what destroys happiness. This is what causes people to be emotionally led. It's what causes people to go look for a fix. You know, and it's easy to look at that guy and be like, man, you know, he blew all his money on alcohol, or look at somebody else who was like, man, they're just getting high all the time. But you know, the reality is when any of us don't have vision, we find some type of itch in our life that we need to scratch. It's why the scriptures say to us, you know, why do you spend your money on things that don't satisfy? Think about how many people, it might not be drugs, it might not be alcohol, it might not be, you know, one of those things, but maybe it's shopping. You know, maybe it's like, I'm just such a mess and everything is just bothering me so much that I just need to go and spend money. And then we go and we propagate a difficult situation by spending that money that we don't have on credit cards. Like, you know what? Let's just take everybody out to dinner and spend $350 and pay for it for the next 6 years. By the time you understand, but these decisions that we make in a moment of time are rooted in the fact that we don't have vision that is causing us to have boundaries in our life. And so what do? Is whatever we feel like doing in the moment, and then the next day, the consequences often are much worse than they were before, which creates this cycle of this unrestrained life. Are you with me? And it's why so many people are just looking to be bailed out and looking for the next thing. You know, I'm finding no joy here, so I want to go over here. One of the reasons they found with millennials, you know, the increase in depression is that they're having a hard time sticking to any one thing because, you know, they'll move to a city, they'll start a job, but, you know, the newness of the whole thing, the excitement of it wears off quickly. And when it wears off, then it's like, I need another new thing. I've got to do something else. I've got to go here. I need this high, not recognizing that it's the being faithfulness with smallness and time. It's the sowing. It's you know, being like a tree. The Bible says you'll be like a tree. It's going through the process of growth. It's letting God grow you up. It's letting you water the place that you're in and experience the fruit of your labor, being productive within the confines that God puts you. Think about what he did with Adam. He put him in the garden. He gave him a job to cultivate this place, to guard it, to protect it, okay? And then he said, you can eat of all these things. There's freedom. But he said, but here's a boundary. Don't cross this boundary. If you cross this boundary, negative things are going to occur. It's no different in our own lives. We're happy when we flow within the banks of boundaries. When we have vision, it brings restraint. The restraint causes us to say no to the opportunities that come to try to get us on an alternative path. Are you with me? So boundaries or banks, they bring happiness. Watch this. They speed up momentum. When you understand where you're going and you're not distracted by so many other opportunities in life, then you'll be able to put some momentum, some velocity, and some inertia toward the thing that you are living for. Now, I want to say something. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Frustration is a great breeding ground for vision, okay? You'll find that in the areas that God's trying to bring major growth in your life, he will allow you to get frustrated. Here's the picture that he gave me, okay? That, you know, he keeps piling. Let's say he put a piece of wood on you, and you're laying down there, and you're like, okay, I can carry this piece of wood. I can deal with this. I can handle this. I'm, you know, this is a pain. It's cumbersome, but I can still keep doing what I'm doing. And then, you know, God's trying to get change to happen in your life. So he says, okay, well, let me put a rock on top of that. And you're like, oh, wow, that was heavy. That was annoying. But, hey, I can still keep going. And then God's like, okay. And he puts another rock on top. And then if you don't get the message, then he puts another rock and he allows the weight to increase to the point where the frustration will overcome your coping mechanisms and enough for you to seek God and get vision about where you're supposed to go. Now, here's the exciting thing. When you get frustrated enough that you actually seek God, when vision comes, it's as quickly as you walked into a dark room and turned a light on. It's that quick. And when you go from having no vision to having vision, it's incredibly empowering. It's incredibly exciting. And the things that were clawing at you before and the temptations that you had yesterday, they no longer hold the same value over you because you are obsessed with the place that you're going, not the distractions of where you are. Can you say amen? Okay, so boundaries are banks. They bring happiness. They speed up momentum. Watch this. They eliminate wasted time. You stop wasting your time on things that distract you because you recognize this is not bringing you where you're supposed to be. Now, I'm trusting, I was praying about this morning, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit's making this personal for us. Okay, hopefully you're able to look at areas of your life and recognize, okay, this is a place that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about. So I'm hoping that that's happening. I could give you many, many examples from finances, from your health, from marriages, relationships, work, all kinds of things. But I really believe this is something where the Holy Spirit will speak to us about and let us know that when we're living with vision, we eliminate wasting time. We stop spinning our heels on things that are not bringing us to where we need to go. Are you with me? Okay. We stop wasting resources. Okay. We stop investing in things that are not helping us go where we want to go. How many of you have ever wasted your money on something ridiculous, either a night or you bought something that, you know, afterwards you were like this? There's two of us, me and Joel. Come on, you know. Even the young people, I mean, how many of you ever were like, man, why did I buy that stupid thing? You know, years later, you know, you're like, can somebody take this? You know, you just want to get all of a sudden you want to unload all this stuff. You know, you're like, why did I buy this? I mean, how many of you ever went shopping in an emotional, you know, moment and were like, man, you know, it's one thing if you go in and you buy a new shirt, you know, but it's another thing if you go in and you buy a new car, you know, and if you're putting on, you with me, and you're like, man, why did I do that, right? And it was like that fix in that moment. That's why vision causes you to stop wasting your resources. You understand? Because the place that you're going is more important. You're living like nobody else now so you can live like no one else later. Okay? You're sacrificing now because of the place that you're going. Listen, we have too many people, even Christians, that live serendipitous lifestyles. You're still here, but you're just kind of going through life and it's coming at you and it's defining your decision-making process and you kind of can get swept up in the inertia of the momentum of culture and basically just live the same life that everybody else is living, really powerless to make your own choices and accomplish anything. And what happens is the end result of that is many people are not happy because they're not being productive in the way that God wanted them to. Recognize this. Even before the fall, God had given Adam a job. He had given him something to be productive. He had caused him to have this relationship to the earth. You know, mankind is a relationship to the earth. I mean, think about it. God's creative, but he put the wood coming out of the earth. He put the gold in the earth. He put all the oil in the earth, all the precious metals, all that. But he put into the heart of man to take those things out and to fashion them and to build something from it. And what happens is God's created us to be creative. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And, you know, but if all we're doing is living this apathetic existence, we've got no vision to ever do anything with our lives. Then what happens is it produces a lack of happiness in our life because there's no restraint. Are you with me? So God's trying to bring restraint in our life through the word. not only through the written word, but also through the voice of the Holy Spirit who's trying to guide us. What does the Bible say? But the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so we need the Spirit of God to lead us. And, you know, there needs to be enough of a relationship where, you know, we're not rushing our time with God, but we actually have a prayer life where we can pray about things and we can ask God, will you lead us? Will you help us? You know, as Nathan's telling all these stories, I mean, I'm hearing that and I know that there's some success and then there's some other stuff. And I'm hearing about how you had to go meet with the pastors and, you know, they tried to do this illegal wedding and marry this couple and I could feel the pain of ministry that's in there, you know, because I'm in ministry and I understand there's some success stories like yourself, but then there's been a lot of other times where you just feel like, man, quite honestly, like, is this even worth it? Is it even making any difference? Do I even want to do this? You know, do you know that the majority of pastors want to quit? That's the reality, right? What makes you stick it out is you've got to have vision beyond what you're feeling in the moment. Even in the pulpit, you know, you've got to recognize that, no, you know, how are you going to do this? It's the success stories. It's the vision that God is bringing to pass. It is the fruit that is coming forth despite the fact that there's difficulties. If you don't have any vision, the difficulties will overwhelm you and you will cast off restraint. It produces unhappiness in your life. You will waste your resources and you'll be incredibly emotionally led. Boundaries or banks bring happiness, speed up momentum, eliminate wasted time, resources, watch this, and they balance your emotions. They balance your emotions. When you are governed by boundaries and parameters, by God's word, and then a relationship through prayer, it causes you to not be led by your emotions, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Your emotions are a powerful thing, and if you're not careful, you will make your decisions based on how you're feeling in a moment of time rather than using wisdom. And the more emotional you are as a person, the more you need to understand this about yourself. I'm an emotional person. I've got, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve, all those type of things. And if you know that about yourself, then you have to ask yourself when you're about to make a decision, is this my emotions that is governing my thought process, or am I actually making this decision because it leads me to where I want to go? You understand? The Bible says it this way, oh, would they would be wise and discern their latter ends. So you're stopping and you're thinking about, if I make this decision, where does this decision leave? What is the effect of the cause that I am about to do? And why am I about to do this? You understand? There's what people and there's why people. What people tend to look on the surface, why people tend to look beneath the surface. And your what people, by the way, will most often work for the why people. So you need to stop and consider and think about what you're doing. And if you have vision, it will govern your choices and the decisions that you're making. So boundaries or banks bring happiness, speed up momentum, eliminate wasted time, resources, and balance your emotions. Vision narrows the boundaries and increases momentum, velocity, and inertia. When you get vision, it helps you speed up and run towards it, which produces happiness, okay? Three questions I'm going to ask you to consider, and then we're going to go ahead and close. Number one, does your life look like a river that is flowing within its banks, or has it overflowed its boundaries in any area? This will be put online, too, so you can listen to this again. Number two, do I often feel a sense of disempowerment, disappointment, and lack of control in the direction that my life is going in? Do I often feel a sense of disempowerment, disappointment, and lack of control in the directions that my life is going in? And finally, are there any areas in my life where I am majorly frustrated and have lost restraint and have lost vision? Something to consider as you go when you think about these questions. One little scripture. So what's the answer? You have to seek God and write vision down for your life. Are there any of you here, let's just be honest, let's just talk for a moment. Are there any of you here that there's any areas of your life that you're frustrated in? Okay, so then the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing in talking this message. See, in the weeks ahead, we're going to unpack this. You're going to learn how to write down vision, how to hear from God, and how to begin to make steps. See, here's what happens. When you get a vision, it causes goals or steps to come into your life in order to get that vision. You're able to simplify, and then what happens is you're able to actually begin to run that path much quicker momentum, velocity. It picks up because you're moving towards something. You're not every day going in some random direction. All right. So you might be fine in some areas, but in other areas, like Adam, you have to cultivate. It's like you had a garden, you planted a garden, and it looked really nice, but now it's got out of control. The weeds have taken over, and you can't tell where the tomatoes are and where the weeds are. And what do you have to do is, like Adam, you've been put there to guard, protect, to cultivate. You've got to go in. And so picture this analogy with different areas of your life. Are your finances heading into chaos? Is your health heading into chaos? Are the relationships that are important to you in your life heading into chaos? You with me? When it comes to career and productivity and wanting to do something, education, moving forward in your life, do you have any restraint in your life, or do you have no idea what you're supposed to do? Are you with me? So when you understand these areas, are any of you raising kids and you're challenged in that area and you feel frustrated? And how do you know? There's answers to all of these things. There's vision that God wants to bring through His Word to bring the boundaries in our life to cause us to run with more momentum. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, did anybody get anything today? Okay, good. Praise God. I got to let you go. Everybody goes out to eat on Father's Day, right? That's why we're going home, and Chris is going to cook for me, so I don't want to fight all the crowds. I'm going to go home and eat some Italian food and watch the United States Women's World Cup team, because the girls are so much better than the boys. Praise God. If anybody knows the score, don't text to me. I'm taping it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you encourage us, Lord, with your voice. Father, you long for us to walk in a happiness, Lord God, that is only produced with flowing within the boundaries, Lord God, of your word. The restraint that your truth brings to us, Lord God, causes us to be productive and happy. I pray that for myself and for this entire body, for the entire church, Lord God, for all those here and their families represented, that you would help us, Lord God, to walk within the confines that you are placing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.